We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Robert F. Kennedy, the president's brother, the former attorney general, the senator from New York, entered the primary for the Democratic nomination for president in 1968 on March 16th. On June 6th, Bobby Kennedy was dead at Good Samaritan Hospital, assassinated right after his victory in the California primary at the Ambassador Hotel. To help us understand this story and why California is not in the drama of the 2024 election, I welcome my colleague of many years, Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution, who keeps two exciting blogs to keep these conversations going, Policy and Politics and Goodfellas, but right now we're in the Ambassador Hotel. Bill, that was an exciting time. California and its choice between Bobby Kennedy and Eugene McCarthy was said to be a game changer. From now on, Bobby Kennedy was going to take the lead, but he died. What about California? Why is not it as exciting here in the 21st century as it was that day? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, there one school of thought is the calendar works against California. The presidential primary oftentimes is in the first Tuesday in June, not in the spring. And so by June, the race is usually far over by then. But even when California moves its primary up into March, it votes on March 5th. It's part of Super Tuesday. Therein lies a problem. It's caught in the middle of a lot of states voting on Super Tuesday. Also in some years, John, which may be the case this year as well, the races are decided in February before we even get to March. So California just finds itself constantly kind of left out of the presidential process. But my focus, what I wrote for California in Mind with Hoover, is it's not just the presidential process, it's a problem. It's also now we're seeing in this Senate race we have going on right now. And I think, John, the problem lies with California's form of voting, which is what we call an open primary or a top two primary.
Yes, let's explain that, because I wondered how the first baseman got into second place. Explain, Bill.
Okay. The first baseman you're referring to is Steve Garvey, the former Dodger and Padres great, who is running as a Republican. Poll out the other day has him in second place. The open primary works as such, John, and other states have similar systems. It rewards the top two finishers in the primary, John, regardless of party affiliation. So two Democrats can advance, two Republicans, two independents, whatever the mix, just as long as they get the first and second most amount of votes. The problem is we're seeing in 2024 in California, John, is candidates play rather fast and loose with this for their own gain. And this leads us to the question of Steve Garvey. Mr. Garvey has some name recognition, though he's been retired from baseball for some time. What he has is an R at the end of his name. And what Adam Schiff, the front runner in this race, has done is he has run ads day and night attacking Garvey as a threat to democracy and linked to Donald Trump. Is he afraid of Steve Garvey? No, John, it's the opposite. He wants Garvey to advance to the general election because he knows that in the general election, John, where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1, Garvey's easy pickings. It's not even a competitive race. So here we have what is kind of backfired on the organizers, the planners of the open primary. This was approved by California in 2010, John. And the idea was that you create a system in which candidates ultimately would run sort of fusion campaigns. John, I'm a Democrat, but I need independent votes and maybe some Green Party votes and maybe some Republican votes. I'm going to run a very broad, moderate campaign. No, we're seeing just the opposite here. In the case of Schiff, he is digging down and attacking a Republican because why? He wants to cynically elevate the Republican to second place. And it's not just Schiff who's playing the game, John. So is Katie Porter, who is a Democratic congresswoman. She wants to finish second place behind Schiff. So what she is doing is she's running ads attacking another Republican, John, making him the true Trumper in the race. Why? She wants to elevate his share of the votes to take away from Garvey, thus water down the Republican take, and maybe put her into second place. So, John, this is not improving the political dialogue in California. It was promised 14 years ago.
A puzzle here, Bill. You mention a prognostication by Nate Silver, an esteemed caller of races, who says something's emerging in California I had no knowledge of. New England-style voters. What does he mean?
Well, Nate Silver, back in the day when this was being kicked around in California, John thought it was going to produce what I referenced, that you're going to see candidates who ran like Olympia Snowe, the former senator from Maine, John Chafee, former senator from Rhode Island, these very moderate New Englanders, John, who in classic Republican fashion would be hawkish on fiscal matters, but very open-minded on, let's say, environmental matters. But Proposition 14, which created the two-party system, the top two system, it's not worked out that way, John. Now, part of the problem here is the collapse of the Republican Party in California. Let me throw a number at you here, which is kind of staggering, John. I went back and I looked up voter registration numbers in California. Going back to 2010, John, back then we had about 5.358 million registered voters. Today in California, it is about 5.332 million. Republicans have gained over the last 14 years, John, California has picked up about 4.75 million more registered voters. But, John, Republicans have gained only 25,000 more registered voters. All the actions on the independent side, John, where independents and third party has grown by about 2.5 million. This is relevant for the top two primary in this regard. Only two people appear on the November ballot. You don't get Green Party candidates, other third party candidates, just the top two. I think California needs to consider reform to the process, John, and maybe make it a top four primary where you could have room for, say, a Republican, an independent, maybe another Republican, and yes, a third party candidate as well, to give people just more choices in the two parties.
SB 202, banning voter-driven initiative. This is Jerry Brown signed it. What does that mean? A voter, what happens?
Well, John, prior to the 1970s, you only had ballot initiatives on the November ballot. In the 1970s, as part of Watergate and reforms in California, the primary ballot was open to voter-driven initiatives, John, things that voters circulate and put on the ballot, not the legislature. So you had ballots in both the primary initiatives in both the primary and the general election. And conservatives, John, found out that putting initiatives on the primary ballot increased their chances of passage. Why? Smaller turnout, larger representation of voters, right of center. So Governor Brown comes into office in 2011. One of the first things he does is he signs what you mentioned, SB 202. Why? Democrats who control the government in Sacramento do not want conservatives to have initiatives on the ballot in smaller turnout primaries. The problem with this, John, is it makes for duller primaries. If you look at some of the ideas being kicked around for November in California. For example, there's a lawmaker who wants to revisit our language on marriage, which right now currently defines marriage between a man and a woman. That would be an interesting debate for Californians to have. Why not put it in the primary? Instead, we put it all in the general election. It just makes for a duller primary, John.
All right. Finally, back to practical matters to make California exciting again. Move the primary forward. Is that reasonable to ask California to vote in March and not in June?
Well, we're doing that now. We're voting in March. The question would be if California could move even further in line. And the problem with this is when a giant state like California goes forward, the other states will cry foul and the parties will step in. And California wanted to vote very early in the process in February. It would be punished in regard. It would lose delegates in the convention. It would get punished down the road by the parties. So it won't do it. And also, John, if California moved forward, four other states would move forward as well. Just nobody wants to give Goliath that kind of advantage in the position. So I guess we'll just keep on keeping on with what we're doing here, which is we will sometimes go in March, we'll sometimes go in June, and forever be searching for relevance. But you know what? The president's out here anyway, John, because there's one thing California always has, regardless of vote totals, we have money. So he's out here raising money right now.
And as I understand it then, March is the earliest California can imagine scheduling itself. Is that right, Bill? March.
Well, John, the lawmakers could put it whenever they want to, but the problem is it'd get cleared by the National Party. The National Party might section California as a result. Right. But then you also have the practical matter, John, of just if an incumbent runs in February or March, you have a hell of a long time until the primary, and that's just, it's stretching out the process too much.
Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.